Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Oh boy.
Let's do it.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our...
Sharknado. No, wait, let me guess. Tara Reid's robotic head.
Loose, confused plot.
Semper Paratus.
Wait, what? Say it again?
The saying that his son did.
Oh.
The thing.
We'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
We will be your constants. I am Des Nato.
I am a reluctant Ariel.
Am I Scott Nato?
Whatever you are, this is
Time Pop.
So everybody, I just want to tell everyone out there, thank you for listening to Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast. It's over. From now on, this is Time Pop, the Sharknado Minute podcast, because
more happens
in every 60 seconds of this movie than happens in the entire trilogy of Star Wars.
Ugh.
If any movie ever deserved a minute podcast, it is this series.
No, vetoed. Denied.
We created a monster.
What have we done?
We knew this would happen.
Oh, God. Can we explain? Can we please explain and apologize to our listeners as to why?
First of all, I'm going to tell you guys that I put in the work this time.
I'm sure you did.
I watched six Sharknado movies in the last 2 days.
You actually did it? You actually watched all of them?
Now, I watched them Des style. I watched six appropriately.
You mean this in the background?
I watched six very appropriately with my notebook out. I watched 1 through 5 while playing golf games and a little bit of Madden. But I lived through all six of these movies in 2 days.
Okay, so to all of our listeners, I'm sorry. I would like to apologize profusely for this movie. To all of our new listeners, welcome. I don't understand this movie, but maybe you can write in and help me to understand it. So the reason why we are watching this movie, what movie is it, Desmond?
The Last Sharknado. It's about time.
So the reason we are watching this movie, this was nowhere on our radar.
Surprisingly, it was not on lists.
No. Nope.
This did not pop up on movie lists.
No. Nope. As far as being any remotely close to being a good time travel movie is because a friend of ours wanted to do a bad movie night, and this is what she chose, and it happened to be time travel, and so we said, hey Desmond, can we just do this?
No, that so Desmond is pretty like sticks to like a good schedule. He's got like a spreadsheet, you know, except for when we get obviously listeners who suggest films, but otherwise we've got some ideas out there. And then we said, hey, I know we talked about this one, but we're about to see Sharknado, and Desmond is like, he's like, great, let's do it. Normally he's like, oh, we got this scheduled or they suggested this or whatever, but he was like, yep, I'm all in. And so we just knew that Desmond would be very excited for this. I like bad movies. This was a lot of something. There was a lot of something. There was a lot of nothing. There was a lot. It's a lot.
By this time, so Kelly only watched six with me. And the fact that she sat through the whole thing is kudos to her. Because the first one, I mean, they knew they weren't making Shakespeare on the first one. But they're like, let's put in some effort.
There's a plot.
Let's try, you know. And by this one, not only did they know they were making a bad movie, but making it a period piece on top of it really drug this one down.
So I have a question, Desmond. Are all the other five movies, are they all also seem like they were written by a 10-year-old boy during a fever dream?
Well, a 10-year-old boy after he spent all day watching HBO in the 80s.
I don't know. I watched HBO in the 80s.
So they're all kind of on brand. They're all that like quick ADHD attention span make no sense.
Pulling straight quotes from other movies.
Yeah, like Shameless. Shameless. When we were about to watch the movie, you know, when you choose it off the menu of like, so this was on Amazon Prime, it lists some adjectives underneath, right? It said, you saw that? It said campy, which it is, right? It might have said like adventure.
Comedy.
Might have said horror. And then it said the word confused. And we looked at that like, huh.
That's how they're describing
it. I've never seen that by the unbiased opinion. And then we were about 8 minutes into it. We're like, oh, yeah, yeah. This is confused. There were plot turns into us, so we were like, okay.
So I just got to tell you guys, it really helped me to understand this movie because the time travel actually starts in the last 5 minutes of Sharknado 5.
That's what I figured. So
yeah, that's what we figured.
I wasn't confused at all.
Really?
Who plays Gil? Do they show Gil at the beginning of Sharknado
6? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, Gil. He's the kid from American Pie.
No. At the end of Sharknado 5, it's Dolph Lundgren.
Is Gil?
Yes. Old Gil.
They replaced Dolph Lundgren with the nerdy kid from American Pie?
Well, because it's a different age. By the time Gil finally found Finn, he was an old man.
Got it. Wow.
But this movie's so smart. You know, they plan to have the young Gil travel through time.
The cameos are obscure, weird fucking cameos.
I do have to say I paid a little bit more attention when Neil deGrasse Tyson appeared on the screen as Merlin.
I know. For you, is it like, does it give it legitimacy or is that more sad for you?
I was happy at first, and then I was like, oh, Neil, why? I mean, he was clearly in a green screen.
Oh, he shot at his own apartment. Yeah, his own house.
By himself. Yeah, with absolutely no other actors around. But I was like, okay, sure. Go, Neil. I mean, this movie is clearly for the fans. This movie is for the people who have been along for the ride, all five movies. This is for them. They clearly have a big fan base because they keep making them. Apparently, they're making a number 7.
It's not the last. Yeah. Yeah. If you're watching, listening to this and you're insulted by this, just know we dived into this. We have not seen the other 6.
Yeah.
I've seen like Piranha 3 in 3D, which is campy, but you know, there's a plot and people die and it's funny. And I guess I never took the time to realize that Sharknado, I thought it just meant like a lot of shark, gory shark attacks. I didn't realize it was a literal tornado of sharks. That's quite a concept.
So I put in the work, so I'm going to get some credit for it. So the first one, super random Sharknado, big tornado comes over the ocean, sucks up some sharks, starts throwing them on land. Who knew? The second one, there's a fucking another one. This is crazy. And by the third one, there are Sharknados are just a thing. It's like,
so are these weather based? It's just that there's a tornado and it happens to be where a lot of sharks are.
By the third one, there are sharks living in the cloud, living in the atmosphere, in the liquid of the atmosphere.
Oh, good. So it does have some scientific basis to it. I was concerned there wasn't.
Oh, gosh.
And so it's just like a thing, like any kind of thunderstorm. We have thunderstorms. You know, it's good.
How does a shark live in a cloud?
Scott, don't get me started. Okay, I don't have time to go into the science of this. Okay, I'm just going to touch on something. And then they jump 5 years in the future where this company has figured out how to dissipate Sharknadoes instantly, like basically blow them up as soon as they form. So Sharknadoes aren't a thing for 5 years. Obviously, they get more Sharknadoes. Then at some point, they have to go to space in order to shoot the tornado from outer space.
It must have been the Force Awakens.
Yeah. Yeah. There's straight up a lightsaber.
Okay.
In one of these. And then this one. Yeah, this one. So I don't know how much. Oh, you do see it a little bit at the beginning. Do you see the post-apocalyptic world at the beginning of this?
They showed it somewhere, didn't they?
No.
At the end of 5, Finn has been walking the wasteland for years. And they have, in order to rid the world of Sharknadoes, they irradiated the planet.
Okay.
So Finn's walking around that. And so they basically destroyed the world in destroying Sharknadoes. And then that's when Dolph Lundgren finds Finn and sends him back in time.
It's like the, you know, films pay homage to Back to the Future, and I always appreciate them giving the nod. But then where do you take that to just shamelessly ripping it off? Where does that become that?
like multiple times.
Like, oh, he's a capacitor. Oh, look, it looks just like the flux capacitor. And the 88 miles per hour, obviously, is, you know, trying to be cute.
Yeah, and the going back in time and your mom trying to kiss you.
I just want to be clear about this. We're not going to try to, like, take this plot down piece by piece, right? That's too convoluted. It's funny. I actually looked on Wikipedia. I was like, oh, they did capture all these things, some things that still didn't make sense to me. We can talk about that, too.
In five, he straight up has a whip and says, sharks. Why is it always sharks?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this was written by a 10-year-old boy, right? Is that who the writer is? Well, who's the credit?
Yeah. Let's see. What is his? I should have known this by now. Writer. So this one isn't written by, or Thunder Levin wrote most of them. And then someone else stepped in to write this one. Thunder Levin is the main writer.
I'm sorry. You said a person whose name is Thunder wrote this?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay, that makes sense. So let's talk about the time travel.
So it starts with it. Like Desmond said, at the end of the fifth, he goes from apocalyptic future. His son from a future gets him in a vehicle to go back in time to stop the first Sharknado. We can at least say that is the start of this plot, right?
Is that correct, Desmond? They were both in the car and they went back in time.
Yes. And the car, I don't know if you see this either, the car straight up DeLoreans into the sky.
We don't see that.
We don't see that.
At the end of five, the Land Rover straight up DeLoreans its wheels and flies towards the camera and goes back in time.
Okay, so we just see it crashing through a rock and then they're surrounded by dinosaurs. Yeah.
And quickly, the rules are explained. He looks at his son. His son is not there. And there's a little hologram that says, hey, just to let you know, you can only go back in time once.
You can only loop through time once.
Once, right. So he left
one. So you can time travel more than once, but once you go back,
you can only go forward.
You can never go back again.
Except for when that rule gets broken, but we'll talk about that later.
At the end, yeah.
Yes.
And he gives him his little like airline pin with the wings that is the travel device with the capacitor in there.
Yes. No. Well, that's not the capacitor. We get to the capacitor later. I don't know what.
It's like sort of a capacitor.
Yeah. Anyway, he needs to just have the pin. And if he hits 88 miles per hour, he will jump back after destroying the first Sharknado.
But at certain place, like they can't just hit 88 and travel. Like they have the portal doesn't open until the Nado disappears, right? Or can they just...
It was really hard to understand where the portals pop up or if they were anywhere, if they joined them. That was confusing. Like so many things.
Or if they had anything to do with them, yeah. But so the sun wasn't there when he arrived in the past. And he said, time travel is tricky.
Because he'd already traveled.
I can't be there with you. But then each location that they went to, the sun was there, just like out of arm's reach kind of a thing.
I think he was there first before.
But no, they were there at the same time because they would see him and then he'd go through the portal. And then they see him again and he'd go through the portal. So it was like he was just a step ahead of them.
He was working his way up, maybe on his way.
Yeah, I think he went way, way back in time. And then was slowly moving his way forward, grabbing people that he needed to send back in order to destroy the first Sharknado.
So we're quickly to gather that this guy meets all of his friends and people that must have died in all the other films didn't really die because Gil saved them at the last second.
Judah Friedlander, he's definitely in three. They're the baseball bat that he has, he steals from a Mets game. So
why was it oversized?
Because it was like a kiosk that sold regular sized bats. So they had a huge bat above the kiosk to advertise that. See, that's why I totally get it. This all makes sense.
I'm sorry, but if you have been stuck in the prehistoric times for a year, you would not be riding on a pterodactyl in full face makeup and hair done.
Are we going to break apart the realism now?
I mean,
if you're Tara fucking Reed, the national treasure you are.
I'm sorry, but she looks like a completely different person. She should change her name. Okay, I mean, and also the like physics of this world where like sharks weigh practically nothing and you can punch a full-sized shark in the face and it just goes flying the other direction and you're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And like wind.
I don't think they had a physics specialist consultant for this film.
Wind can like pick up sharks and fling them around, but you can stand right there and be fine and your hair is barely blowing. It's the physics of this universe is questionable.
The best part is how did they train the pterodactyl to hit the sharks?
And understand English, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's the pterodactyl's name?
Pterodactyls are very trainable. They're very trainable.
What's the pterodactyl's name, Ari?
Tara Reid.
Well, just Tara, but yeah.
Tara.
And there apparently are only sharks that live in the ocean. There is no other sea creature of any kind that live in the ocean.
That's a valid point. Why is there not panther?
I think you see at least one swordfish just for a convenient stabbing, just to make a good scene. But yeah, there should be, yeah, groupers.
Millions upon millions upon millions of sharks.
I'm also trying to figure out, so they're going back in time and they're making it sound like these sharknadoes were not supposed to happen in the timeline. But are they weather caused or was there a bad villain that placed these? Why are they in a timeline when they shouldn't be?
So I think is what happened is they stopped the first sharknado, which then made that not the first sharknado. So then they teleported forward to what would then be described as the first sharknado. And they had to destroy them through time to make sure there was never a first sharknado.
Right. They talked about like domino effects.
But they weren't in the original timelines. That was their point of like, hey, if this gets Benjamin Franklin then, or like George Washington, that's not going to happen. So it was almost like
Scott,
they weren't in the timeline originally.
Scott, what's happened has happened has always happened. Like, how do you not get this by now?
If that's the case, how did they solve it at the end?
Solve it.
Well,
how do they made a whole new timeline at the end if it's what happened.
Oh, before. You're right, because Judas.
This is not
bad.
A loop. That's why this doesn't make sense. I mean, here's the problem, folks. I like bad movies. Ari and I are in here to question the science and the logic and philosophy, and I think we have to let go of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's our job here is generally like, oh, what are the loopholes? How does this work? What's the paradox? And it's like, no. What cameos did you like?
They mentioned my favorite cameo without a doubt is Alaska Thunderfuck.
What?
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Best performance.
Is that her name?
Yes.
That was the best performance for sure.
A lot of thunder.
I was excited to see Dee Snider in it. I picked out Dee Snider by like the eyes, which is pretty impressive.
And that's a theme. That's after they had Brett Michaels and Vince Neil.
Okay.
In as previous cameos. They had Carrot Top played a great cameo.
Whoa.
Mark Rubin was president at one point.
Yeah, Mark McGrath is in it.
Mark McGrath. He doesn't play a cameo. He's like, that motherfucker gets two movies worth of screen time.
Bo Derek is in it?
Oh, yeah.
Gary Busey is in it?
Oh, Gary Busey is Tara's dad.
Okay.
He's the one that turns her into a cyborg.
Gilbert Gottfried is in it? Tori Spelling, that was a special little appearance. What a reunion.
Oh, so great. So,
this movie felt like Bill and Ted's the shitty version.
They did mention the Einstein-Rosen bridge. So, I mean, science.
Okay.
See, they had a consultant. You know what movie really had a physics consultant? You know what movie did have a physics consultant?
Don't do it.
Interstellar. Interstellar.
What?
this is sponsored by Interstellar. Our whole podcast.
What? Explain.
No.
I can't.
Explain why Judah is a science teacher for one jump.
I thought he was a history teacher. And why for one jump was he a black female all of a sudden?
Because she was the science teacher that figured something out. So that's why.
That was Deborah Wilson. That was Deborah Wilson, right?
Is that who that was? Yeah, she.
From Mad TV.
If she hadn't been, because I think since he's a history teacher, I think she said she was a science teacher. And I think it was her. She used her science to get them out of that loop.
Oh. She used her science.
She.
So, yeah. We just set up the plot. We can just say from there, they solve a sharknado, they destroy a sharknado, and then they time jump and it takes them into another period like Bill and Ted's where they have to stop another sharknado. And we end up going through Camelot and Billy the Kid Old West. And we pass through the Revolutionary War with our good friends, Benjamin Franklin and George Washington. Where else do we end up going? The 50s beach party?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Am I missing any time, John? Oh, there's a future one.
Then we go to the future. Oh, 1997.
So we're not like following super like a plot here. Let's make no sense like the film. Okay, so they make it in the future, right?
Yes.
It's the world is run by Tara Reid robots.
And flying sharks.
Yeah, I won't even get into the whole Tara Reid robot head that shoots lasers and is a part of this. We can't even. But you can only move forward in time. At some point, he flies into a machine that now breaks those rules and now he can go back in time.
Well, because she says that she can break the rules if you have enough power. And he uses her power source.
Did he use it or was he flung into it?
Well, and he's flung into it, but therefore...
And it just happened to send him back to that key day to stop her head from killing people and becoming the... It just happened on its own?
Which this, I'm going to say, this movie did as good of a job as Back to the Future in putting themselves into old scenes that we see from a previous movie. Because that whole ship scene takes place.
Are you saying as good?
Yes.
Are you comparing the quality to Back to the Future?
Because if you watch the original Back to the Future, there's no fucking way that future Marty, there's ever a third Marty there. But when they redo it again, and we're supposed to believe that the first time we saw this, all of this was happening in the background.
He was there, yeah.
That if you watch this scene the first time, and then you watch it during It's About Time, it's everything's terrible about the acting. But as far as like taking old footage and putting new footage in and making it like, oh, yeah, this actually could have happened the first time I watched it. I just didn't see this angle.
So I have a few. Let me ask you this. So
okay. They
go back. So they destroy throughout history all of these Sharknadoes like that shouldn't have been there. That's what they're saying. Like it would have altered the timeline. They're straining the timeline. But then with that final one, cool. Then there won't be any Sharknadoes. We'll make the correct timeline. When he goes back to the past to that boat with the robot head, all of a sudden there's like, oh, with this Sharknado, you'll either destroy time or you'll solve it. And like, where did that pop out of if they had already done all the solving of all the Sharknadoes and taken care of it? Explain. Give me the science.
Science.
Thank you.
Science. Oh, well, fuck science. Do you know what that boat was doing?
What was the boat doing?
Harvesting shark fins for soup.
So it was revenge.
Those sharks.
Oh.
The original Sharknado was to get back.
We should
talk
about that. There is a loop component in the film, right? She goes back. The woman goes back to save her grandfather from being killed by a shark attack. And they're all saying, no, you can't do this. You're going to change the timeline. And then she actually has a really good point. She's like, you're saying this now, but you just left this dude back in time. You've already fucked up the timeline, which is a valid point. She ignores them. She tries to save her grandfather, but then in doing that realizes that she actually caused all the disaster and death herself by trying to save him. But then he does live. So can we talk about this?
Yeah. Did she end up saving her grandfather? I don't remember.
She did save him, right?
Oh yeah. Cause he and her go out on a,
but everyone else dies. She pretty much kills her. And she even says like, oh, I'm the one that caused all this actually, but then didn't. So,
but then he survived.
Can we discuss what that, can that?
Well, because it's the shark head, it's Tara's head falling in that really destroys the future, right? Which didn't happen the first time.
But she was saying everyone, that boat was a big disaster that day. Everyone on the boat died and pretty much everyone did except for our hero.
The girl.
No, everyone except for, what's his name? Finn. Finn and the...
Grandpa and little Nova get away on a raft.
But everyone else,
raft,
all
right?
The other, everyone else, yeah.
Yeah.
But Finn and Vivica Fox.
So if she saved her grandfather and changed her timeline, are we to believe that this is not ripple effect?
We are definitely to believe this is not. Oh, wait.
No, because they were warning her because she forms like, because her grandfather gets killed by a shark, she forms his anti-shark league. And I assume that's how she gets caught up with these yahoos. It's confused, folks. It's confused.
Confused. Confused.
So explain this line to me.
Nope.
I don't think I can.
I wonder what Deadpool movie we're in.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Oh, the second Deadpool has time travel in it.
Really?
Yeah, I keep forgetting. It comes up on all the lists and I haven't seen it in a while, but it's got time travel, the second one, supposedly.
Have we not seen that?
We have not.
What? I haven't seen the second. We got to do that one.
I mean, no, we've seen it, but not for this show.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember anything about it. Time travel?
Oh, it's got some other X-Men in it. It's got
It's at the very end. Like, it's not like super
Colossus, like, I think.
Yeah.
And then I forgot there's a young female with some powers. Well, here's the question. So did you enjoy this film? And that's fine if you did. It seems like, or are you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we thought.
Did you guys have fun in a group? Like, this must have been a blast in a group.
Yeah.
No?
No, not really. I mean,
we were just watching. We were like, I'll bet you Desmond's loving this.
Yeah.
And you know me, man. I like bad movies. I guess I like bad movies. Maybe that didn't realize they were going to be bad.
I feel like if we watched the first Sharknado, it would have been a better experience.
Yeah.
There was so much that we didn't pick up on. There's probably so many inside jokes and callbacks.
Yeah, it's watching Endgames as your first film. It's like if you just watch Endgames, you never saw any other Avengers.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it just, it would have been more fun. It's still the same style if we had watched the first one first. You know what I mean? So, no, I did not enjoy watching this movie.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess there are a lot of callbacks. Like the chainsaw is a, that comes up in every.
And oddly enough, I knew what we were getting into. I wanted more gore, like more wacky. Like what was the one where he takes Billy the Kid's arm and then within the shark's mouth keeps shooting with just the hand in it? Like weird stuff like that. Like that's what you're expecting to see in these films. And there wasn't even that much gore. They just knock these sharks out like they're just like useless CGI balls. Like,
yeah, they were
instead
like
of seeing, you should be seeing some weird stuff.
This one was like probably one of the least goriest. Like two was the most goriest. Like two, they were like, okay, let's kick up the blood and the deaths. And it was pretty gnarly.
Was it actually scary?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even I was like, oh, Cormac can watch this. But then like the gore hit and I was like, oh, maybe not. But then like by three or four, like you see blood, but it's not like.
Yeah, I thought it'd be more like Piranha 3D, which is where like the piranha like burps up a guy's wiener that he chomped and it goes right in the camera. Things like that.
Oh, maybe I'll put that on this. Maybe I'll dig up that old chestnut and put it on this.
Piranha 3. Yeah, that's got Richard Dreyfuss, Elizabeth Shue, Adam Scott. It's a lot of gratuitous nudity. You'll love it. And burping up a man's wiener from a robotic giant underground piranha. So I also didn't. So again, my own ignorance. I hadn't seen a Sharknado. And in looking at this online, you realize how many ridiculous shark films are out there. There's all kinds of crazy ass. There's also a clown NATO I saw.
Oh, hey, everybody. Sorry. In between season 3, episode 3 and season 3, episode 4 is Rotten Popcorn Presents Piranha 3D.
We did do it.
So check that out. We did. Not only did we do it, but we put it on the Time Pop feed.
Oh, good. We did. I thought we did. I was like, I remembered. So do you remember the burping of the? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was like, and it's so funny, like, because, I mean, Tara Reid was never going to win an Oscar, but she knew how to act at one point. Like, she could get through a scene. Like,
there is a thing when you got a lot of face work done, and it restricts your ability to emote with your face.
Oh,
or just talk in general.
Like, Portia de Rossi in the last season of Arrested Development, you can barely, like, there's just no nuance to the face expression, facial expression.
Okay, so that's all Botox.
It's a lot of things.
That makes sense. Yeah. And by the sixth one, I mean, I hope she's drinking on the set. I mean, the first one, sure, you sober up, you're finally in a movie, you're excited. By Sharknado 6, like, girl, do some drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see if I... So, everything just go. How does it just, I forget how it just fixes at the end.
Because he went back to that day on the boat with the robot head and it needed to know that he cared about it. So it didn't grow up to form an army of female robots. Also, why is the woman that was eaten by a shark fully preserved in the future and alive? The actual wife of his, not the robot one. Is it worth asking about that or no?
No.
Sorry, ask it again.
In the future, with the robot versions of his wife, there's the actual real version of his wife. However, she was chomped by a shark, but she's alive and her body fully preserved in the future. Is there something I'm missing in that one?
I can't believe they didn't Sleeping Beauty her. Like, that her in that glass case, comatose. Like, the fact that Finn didn't revive her with a kiss was... shocking to
missed me. Opportunity.
Total missed opportunity.
It was written by a 10-year-old boy. Remember this.
Well, then he would have had to have sex with her to wake her up if it was written by a 10-year-old boy.
10?
He's gonna boink her. If he sees her boobies, then she'll wake up.
So Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 27%, Metacritic 22 out of 100. It was not well received. Even
give me a bad review. I want to hear someone really tearing this down, Scott. Really, really giving Piranha It's About Time It's What For.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, the scene at the end when there's just everything happening and you see Hitler getting his arm bit off by a shark and you see Muhammad Ali punching. So yeah, they basically just destroy time for a little while and we see everything all at once, which in this version is like six things on repeat because that's all they could.
I actually liked the animation that they did for the credits. The beginning and the end credits.
Yeah, we thought it was better than the film.
I thought that was better than the film.
Totally.
It's like, just do the whole movie in animation.
All right, here's some reviews for you.
All right.
At least the characters register and the action is vaguely coherent within the total lack of logic. What was once camp is now just atrocious.
Yep.
It's clear during the climax sequence that we've gone well past the point of peak absurdity as far as potential humor is concerned, and the big climax thus leaves the viewer cold. The Last Sharknado is simply a collection of images and noises loosely cobbled together in a way that somehow makes them barely suitable for ironic viewing. Look, it's The Last Sharknado. You kind of feel guilty calling it bad because of what it inherently is, but then again, it's just dumb.
Yep.
I just remembered, yeah, when they reset, no one remembers this, do they?
No, they don't, right?
That's right.
Oh, you're asking how it got reset. So he goes back to the time of the robot heads, but then they're saying like, you should destroy this. It'll either destroy all of time or
reset it.
You will clear it up.
Yeah.
And I don't know, after everything they've been doing the whole film, now there's this new rule and opportunity. And with the laser-eyed robot head, they destroy this. And luckily, they fix the timeline free of Sharknadoes. And you see an alternate timeline of them at the end, which I assume is from the beginning.
Yeah.
And everything's fine now.
God, I forget this does end with a kiss when he kisses her from inside the Sharknado mouth, or the shark, the robo-shark mouth.
A film in which all the wit and ingenuity on hand appears to have been squandered on coming up with the title.
I just watched the scene where like they're repairing time, or they don't know if time's gonna, if you know, the universe is gonna explode or they're gonna reset it. Wow, that scene is somehow crazier in mute and longer. You know what though? Again, brilliance. This movie, it's got its moments. In the bar, hanging behind the bar above the cash register is the emblem from the train that they used to get up to 88 miles per hour in the Old West. Was it the Old West? Whenever they use the train again.
Oh, did you see the Doc Brown's thing when they were in the West in the background? There's a sign that says like Doc Brown's. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I looked for that and I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, fantastic.
Here's a review for you, Desmond. This is an audience review. You'll like this. The movie is a masterpiece in itself. George Lucas and Steven Spielberg are shit against Anthony C. Ferrante and his skills to release such a humongous adventure.
You know what I love too? In two and three, maybe four, maybe three and four, like Coors Light is everywhere. Like they're drinking Coors, like it is obviously, oh, the two companies that got the middle of these movies made was Coors and Xfinity. They gave all the money. And at the end of six, the Coors in the back of the bar is greeked. They had, for some reason, Coors was like, enough. We're done. We want to. They had to cover the Coors emblem in the back of it. But there's Jägermeister all over the place.
I got a review I want to read.
Oh, yes.
This is okay. Wait. Okay. Well, this can't be right.
Oh, it can be, Scott.
Well, the date of this review is February 4th, 2019. It says, yo, this is so hot. Shrek is so bad compared to this. The acting was so sexy, and I love that the sharks are all real. My dad said that it was made in 2018, the same year that I was born, which makes this person 1 year old who's writing this review. There's a timeline question even in that.
Oh.
The audience reviews are even worse.
I got nothing.
What?
I got nothing.
Again, I appreciate the wacky, fun, bad gore film. I just wanted one small thing to chew on. I did not get it. But, you know, good on them. Let's find some pod that they tried to win. it wasn't just to like travel to one place. They tried to go through lots of timelines. For a low budget film, you had to have lots of sets and costumes that were sometimes mildly authentic. Almost ish.
I love the outfits they get in like the, I guess that's at one point, what's her name says, I'm a 10, you're a 1392. So I'm just going to assume that's when they were. That rando dude just drops a bag of costumes for them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. When they're in the 50s, I was really confused because there's a beach party, but like the hairdos, someone looked like Kurt Cobain. It looked like grunge. And I was like, I don't get why in the 50s they were having the long hair and the beard. That doesn't, was it supposed to, the music was 50s. I was so confused.
Oh, he meets his parents.
Yeah.
So the one thing that makes me sad about this movie is I watched this movie and I can't figure out why we don't have a time travel trilogy on Sci-Fi Channel.
You mean, oh, us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ari could write the shit out of it. And we have, you know, I have enough Adobe software to do some special effects. Like we can do it, guys. We can make a movie. It's just got to be the right kind of bad. Like it's not going to be perfect. We're not,
I mean, we
have...
could edit an iMovie and the special effects would be comparable.
Oh, so much. All right, get out your old scripts, dust them off.
Okay,
let's do this.
Let's do it.
We're gonna
review our own film.
Time Pop presents. All right. Any last? Oh, you get one shot. You can go back in time, basically as far as you want, I guess. And then you can slowly loop yourself back to now. But you got to be able to go 88 miles per hour wherever you are.
Yeah,
in time,
which I hate to be practical. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
Unless you can ride a pterodactyl, like you're just trapped back there.
I mean, Doc Brown needed bombs to get the train up to 88. And they did it with just shoveling more coal into it. So kudos to them. You take this trip, Scott?
Well, you know me, guys. I'm going to Woodstock. I should be able to find a car. I can drive 88 miles
per
hour.
You don't have the capacitor. You don't. Are you assuming you have the capacitor in your version of this? Yeah, you can have that. I'll give you the capacitor. Why not?
Well, you're saying to go without any control of where you're going?
Yeah, like you can you can have the adventure of time travel.
Nope. What am I gonna go end up in the fucking Spanish Inquisition?
Maybe, if you're lucky.
By the way, they also traveled through time and space, which is notable.
Oh yeah.
San Francisco looked a lot like Los Angeles in the
Sure did.
It was nice that they like the effect of them appearing on the Golden Gate Bridge was not terrible.
It was not terrible. It's almost a compliment.
It was better than our movie so far. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Ari, you taking that trip?
No, I have.
Why?
I have no interest in going to some rant. You don't know where you're going to end up. Like, that's no. I would, if I'm going to do that, I'd have to be in the future. If it's like you don't know when and where, it would just have to be for the future. For me, the past, no.
Now, how about we reverse the rules? You can go into the future and then slowly jump back. But then once you reach zero, once you get back here, you're done. So you still get one shot, but you go to the future and work your way home.
I would do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you also don't know what kind of future you could go into. There could be a freaking dictator. It could be Skynet.
That's true. But at least you get to see what happens in the future.
Maybe they've destroyed all technology and it's just as hard to get up to 88 miles per hour.
Yeah. Or you go past the futurism to like...
It's like no one's done that movie. It's like a time travel memento where it's like everything's done in reverse. You know, you go to the future and then slowly come back to the present.
Yeah. We'll call it Momentum.
There's movies that don't have time travel, but it's told in a way that the sequence is out of time. And that's maybe bordering on stuff we can cover, like Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind or Memento.
Jacob's Ladder.
Right.
Is Jacob's Ladder? Yeah.
You could argue. Yeah. We could argue that more than we could multiverse stuff. Like, you know, if the sequence of the film.
What?
Yeah.
Well, of time travel being a part of it. Like Jacob's Ladder, you could argue, could fit in here.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Ari?
Yeah. I feel like, you know, it's if there's something to talk about, if there's something to chew on, yeah, I think it could count.
But do you think that mind, like telling a story out of order is more on brand than alternate timelines?
I mean,
well, a story being told through time differently.
It goes to the idea that the viewer is the time traveler. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's more arguable. It's still not on brand for what we're doing, but an alternate universe is also just an alternate universe. Unless you went to an alternate universe that's the same world, but a different time is happening in that alternate universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And Des, the time of the film must have made you very excited. Was it 1 hour 30 on the nose?
They were all six of these movies took me exactly 9 hours to watch. Did you notice even because by this time, like to make sure that it fit in the 2 hour time frame that they wanted to show this on Sci-Fi, did you notice how fast the credits went?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've never seen credits roll by so fast.
Yeah. What was with that?
Oh, because it was on the Sci-Fi channel. Because
it was on the first three didn't do that, or the first four didn't, but 5 and 6, it was like, okay, we got 2 more minutes of action. So we're going to have to speed up the credits in order to make this fit in a 2 hour time.
That's hilarious. I just thought they were ashamed that they were a part of it and they didn't want you to see their names.
That's time slot shit. Oh my God. I say, I know we don't do this. We need to do this more often. And I say, watch The Last Sharknado. It's tight 90 minutes. Get some friends together, get some edibles, buy a six pack and have some fun with it.
I feel like if you were stoned, it would be even more confusing, this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, unpleasantly so.
How about mushrooms?
Wow.
That's just like asking for a bad trip.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate to suggest Piranha 3D over this, but Desmond, we watched that as well. I think that's the more enjoyable film.
Oh, there's more.
It's so campy.
I mean, there's more TNA at least. I mean, if you're going to watch a bad movie, like you might as well get some boobs and bulges in there.
Yeah.
Might as well get boobs and bulges. That's our new podcast. We're just going through scenes in cinematic history. Hey, you know what? We do variety of programming on this podcast. It might be a cinematic masterpiece. It might be a mind twister. It might be an animated thing. It might be a commercial. It might be this film. We cover all time travel in all its forms.
Hey, if this is your first episode, congratulations. It only gets better.
Sometimes there's actually theories to talk about.
It is straight uphill from Sharknado : It's About Time. Pick any other episode and you're leveling up. So you are welcome. Thank you for listening to Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/timepop. That is patreon.com/timepop. We have and will continue to produce great time travel content for free. But if you could help us with some production costs, we would be greatly appreciative. We are asking for $3 a month. And to show our appreciation, you will receive an exclusive podcast every month. Here's what we're going to do, folks. I've been lying to you. I've been talking about what we're going to do on the Patreon, and we kind of had to change it up. We were going to do one thing, but we're just not really going to have the time for that. So it's what we're going to do. Time Pop is going to continue to be the time travel hub of greatness that it is. What we're going to do on Patreon is we're going to start doing the movies that are like maybe time travel-ish, but more alternate reality stuff. So think of Everything Everywhere All at Once. Think of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, like Spider-Man Homecoming. Like we'll get to Inception eventually. If you join our Patreon, you can tell us what to watch. You can help program not everybody, but the first 10 people who get in there, you are going to get to help us program. So, but just to let you know what kind of things we're doing, unless you get in here and tell us to do something different, we're going to do Everything Everywhere All at Once in September. It's going to be kind of late September, people, but we'll get there. October, Into the Spider-Verse. November, Idiocracy. Kind of a frozen in time. And then the holiday, December, we're going to do Doctor Strange. I still don't know which Doctor Strange we'll do. Maybe we'll do the new one because it's really fucking unhinged. So check that out. If you like the show and would like to continue to support us for free, we just ask again that you like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Time Pop? Don't go anywhere, people. On this feed right now, I am featuring every week a different podcast from the Sounds Awesome Network. There's going to be a Truth Not Trends podcast, an All the Answers podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast, a That Fitness Couples podcast. It's going to be amazing. If you like those podcasts when you listen to them on our feed, search for them and go check out their feed and help support them. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine free podcasts. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel Galois.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
Bye! Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.